I am Frank Vaughn. It is April 11th, 2025, and it is a gorgeous day here in North Saskatchewan. The sun is shining, the temperature's heading up to the mid-teens, and I'd be surprised if any snow in exposed fields survives much past this weekend. Yesterday's video saw me leave in some bad edits so you could see the magic behind the curtain. It wasn't glitching. It's that I don't write lines. I don't script these. These all come out of my head. I have an idea of what I want to say, but I don't plan for how I say it. So sometimes I have to restart a couple times before I get the take I'm looking for. So I hope you enjoyed that while it lasted, and it's still available on Twitter if you want to see it. I blame yesterday's oversight on the fact that I didn't get much sleep. And yes, for everybody who's asked, we got more sleep last night, and the kid is feeling much better. It was just the cold that led to an entertaining night. I want to begin by talking about the importance of not counting on AI to be accurate. I don't care which one you're using, ChatGPT, Grok, whatever you want. They are a tool. They are not a replacement for your own research. You can use them to refine your arguments. You can use them like you use Google. But then you have to verify what you find. And one of the reasons I say this has happened recently. I've been in a long-term, two-week now, insurance negotiation with my insurance company, trying to figure out how to save money on my insurance without leaving me exposed to things like forest fires. Grok and AI that I've checked insists that PST in Saskatchewan is not applicable to insurance policies on your home. But it's wrong. It's dead wrong. And here's the legislation that talks about it, and it's been this way since 2017, 8 years ago. And for some reason, AI doesn't know this. So this is an example of how you shouldn't outsource your own critical thinking skills and your own research just to AI alone. It's a tool. It will do whatever you tell it to. That's what it's designed for. Speaking of design, we have the manufactured war leader of Ukraine. Chinese fighters in Russia's ranks reflect systemic recruitment, Zelensky says. That's the headline from his approved press outlet, the Kiev Independent. All other journalism has been banned. Only government-approved journalism exists in Ukraine, so government-approved propaganda, in a place where elections have been suspended. Zelensky is far past his term. Going over to his X account, reading the first paragraph, the first two captured Chinese citizens. Today, investigators from the Security Service of Ukraine spoke to them. We are working to establish all the facts regarding the involvement of these and other Chinese citizens being part of the Russian occupation army. Ukrainian intelligence is also working on this matter. They're probably beating these guys behind closed doors, trying to get them to say useful tidbits that they can then put on paper and shove them in front of a camera. Anytime the Ukrainians talk about honesty, anytime the Ukrainian government talks about honesty, you know they're lying through their teeth. But the important point that we need to understand here is at peak, there was at least 20,000 people volunteering in the Ukrainian army from 50 different Western-aligned countries, including 200 from Belarus, which is a Russian ally. So Ukraine is fine to recruit from anywhere they want. We have, I know a guy here in Saskatchewan. He volunteered in the Ukrainian army. He's dead now. Another son doesn't come home because of this useless war. The assassin, the would-be assassin of Donald Trump, Ryan Wesley Ruth. And by the way, we've just kind of forgot all about the background of this guy. And not to mention the first guy who tried to kill the president. Nobody's curious, including the president, which raises a lot of red flags and questions for me. Who were these people? They're like mystery men. Why have two distinct assassination attempts disappeared under the radar? Nobody even seems to be curious. No one in the Trump administration and no one outside of it wants to talk about it. Why is that? Perhaps that's a question for another day. But Ryan Wesley Ruth tried to buy a rocket launcher from Ukraine with the intended purpose of killing the president. This is after he spent his time recruiting volunteers for the Ukrainian army. The headline is, UK and France key to Kiev's latest attack on Russian energy infrastructure. So the West provides target logistics to the Ukrainian military so that they can strike deep into Russia. The Americans were doing this too. Certain of the rocket systems that have been sold to the Ukrainians cannot be used without U.S. intelligence. Trump rightly ended this practice. The only point I'm trying to make here, this is a proxy war. The story of North Korean troops being involved in the Kursk region or the story of Chinese nationals being involved fighting with Russian troops is a non-story. It's only there to sell to partisan hacks. Both sides do this. So this notion, this idea that the war must continue, outrage after German intel chief says Ukraine war should keep going for another 5 years. This has been sitting in my tabs since March 22nd. I've been trying to get to it. They want this war to continue indefinitely. The West is working for warfare. They have torpedoed every peace movement. They oppose Trump's attempts to get the job done on terms that are acceptable, not just to Ukraine, but to Russia as well, who has been winning the war. Why does everybody in power want World War III? It's no good for anybody. And I find it really offensive that Zelensky is trying to churn up even more issues with Chinese. He's playing off the fact that the Americans and the Chinese are off to a trade war. This is actually a battle, and I guess I'll go on a tangent here for a little bit. This is a battle about the future of reserve currencies. The U.S. dollar is waning. It's weakening in the world. The bond markets have been weakening. Stocks and everything. There's volatility all over the place because there's a shakeup. There's a realignment happening. The U.S. dollar might lose its reserve currency status in the next 5 to 10 years. Could happen quicker. Maybe it doesn't happen at all. Part of what Trump is trying to do is to shore up North America and to shore up a different set of relationships to the relationships that have developed since Bretton Woods. The future is uncertain. The rise of BRICS is real. And Zelensky is playing off this to try and get us all killed. That's basically what's happening. The headline is, it's Main Street's turn to restore the American dream, U.S. Treasury Secretary warns Wall Street. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, laid out President Trump's financial policy priorities for the American Bankers Association on Wednesday, saying that Main Street America will now take priority. The quote is, for too long, financial policy has served large financial institutions at the expense of smaller ones. No more. It's Main Street's turn to hire workers. It's Main Street's turn to drive investment. And it's Main Street's turn to restore the American dream. Now, to put this in perspective, I'm going to highlight just one guy, but there's probably 100 decent YouTube channels out there that do this very thing. This is Nick Johnson. And he drives around America filming hollowed out cities because when he films the good stuff, no one wants to watch it. When I put up a thumbnail where I'm smiling, less people tune in. It's ridiculous how the psychology of people works or how the algorithm treats it. I don't know which. Nick Johnson's figured out, and he says this in his videos, that people want the bad news. So he drives around state to state to state, touring all of these hollowed out towns. Those towns have been destroyed. American industry has been gutted for the benefit of globalists, for the benefit of the big financial institutions that are represented in things like Brookfield and Mark Carney. They are the winners, and the people have been the losers. The Trump administration, reading the tea leaves, understanding that the U.S. dollar's dominance may be coming to an end. They have to shake the world up. They have to confront their principal geopolitical adversary, which is China and no one else, and China's satellites. That's why Canada's in the crosshairs. We are a bridgehead in North America for China. The Americans know this. But the way that you fight, the way that you survive the loss of U.S. dollar dominance is you have to reawaken the American production powerhouse. And that's what they're attempting to do with tariffs, to cure and reverse the decline of the domestic American landscape. The hollowed out towns, bring the jobs back. It's a defense against the loss of U.S. hegemony. Now, this is all an important story for Canada because Canada is in a precarious position. We rely on the United States for our prosperity, period. There's no compromise with that statement. When Mark Carney says the era of a good relationship with the United States is over and feeds into Canadians' irrational fear of Donald Trump and hatred of him to win cheap political points, he knows that after the election, he's going to fold like a house of cards and they're going to get whatever they want. And the worse we treat them, the worse of a deal that we're going to get. But I digress. There's also the Chinese influence aspect. They literally have a foothold in our government, operating police stations, training their troops on our soil, triads operating with abandon here, running drugs through our ports that are wide open, none of our rail traffic searched. Canada is in a bad spot. If we are smart, we will join up with the United States and create Fortress North America, whether as a sovereign nation or, as I see more than more likely, as two nations. One, a Western Republic or a Western state and what's left of Canada. Because the Americans don't want the Canadian problem. Quebec and Ontario, and I'm sorry for the millions of you who are there who understand how things work, you're outnumbered by the millions and millions more who think that Trump is the bad guy, that socialism is the answer to everything, and that everything is fine here in Canada. They live on their screens. They're completely divorced from reality. The headline is, Canada embraces European suicide. So skipping down a little bit, I'm just going to read this paragraph outright. Why will so many Canadian voters get this election wrong? A big reason is that they have been fed lies about their nation's relative strength and sovereignty all their lives. I've often said, it's not just scorn. It's not just ignorance. The Canadians, the Canadian public, and particularly a lot of the boomer generation, people who have been swimming in the propaganda because that's all we have anymore. The media is completely captured by the Liberal Party of Canada, the public sector unions, and the bureaucracy. It's just the way it is. When you're subsidizing journalists, one program, Google cutting a check for $100 million, ends up subsidizing journalists for five figures of their wage, and that's outside of official tax dollar-backed government programs that subsidize the media directly. It's captured. These people are victims as much as they're victimizing the people who are awake. I've been away from advertising for 25 years, probably longer. We never had cable growing up. I never watched TV. I've never been into TV. I'm not into shows. I have no idea what the hell's going on in pop culture. I don't see advertising. So my brain is wired differently from somebody who's been swimming in it their whole lives. Back to the article. I've had conversations with Canadians from all walks of life, many of whom are reasonable, rational, knowledgeable people who know little to nothing about how much the United States subsidizes Canada's economy. And they use the word subsidy. And our captured media plays on that a lot because it's not technically true that the United States cuts a check to the Canadian government to keep us alive. So they can run with that and still pretend to be honest. But the fact is, the tariffs that the Americans agree to pay willingly in our trade agreements, incredible, multi-hundred percent tariffs, to keep our businesses in certain areas of our economy alive, all while we live under the shield of their massive military spending. We take them for granted, and the administration, the government that is in office today, not just Justin Trudeau, but the members that have collectively gathered under Mark Carney, have spent years insulting the Americans for all of their generosity and patience. Canada is propped up by the United States more than anybody else. China would like to usurp that position. China would like to get in the door and stay in the door. They like their foothold. If we're smart, we'll kick them out and we'll embrace the Americans. That's the position we're in. We don't have a choice. When all of our political leaders talk about sovereignty, you lost it a long time ago. It's been gone for decades. You now have a choice about how you're going to live and who you're going to live with. They do not realize that their economy functions by virtue of unidirectional trade barriers and a closed banking system that permit Canadian products to flow into the United States while restricting American products into Canada. It is an unfair, unbalanced trade relationship. Canada can make the argument that it's necessary for certain sectors, like dairy, like agriculture. The Americans have this thing called a favorable climate. We have this thing called a cold climate. It puts them at a distinct advantage. We apply tariffs to protect our industry so that we have some domestic food production because we've given the rest of it away. I recall it was the 1950s or the 1960s. I shouldn't say I recall. I recall a story that my father told me. My dad and my grandfather were in farming in a place called Colborne, Ontario. They grew tomatoes and they grew various crops on 100 acres. And they went to, and those crops went to canning factories. And those canning factories preserved them so that they could be ate by Canadians through the winter. He went to a meeting. I've still got the tweed jacket that he bought for the meeting. It's one of my most precious possessions. He went to this meeting. And it was a growers meeting. And it was with wholesale buyers. And they were told, in no uncertain terms, it's over. We're not buying from you anymore. We're buying from California and Mexico. Do something else. Everybody went into tobacco. Everybody lost their shirts. It's a tragedy. It's a Canadian tragedy. Too few people are aware of the fact that we sold out our agriculture sector and we completely denuded our ability to keep ourselves alive through the winter. We can't do it. So the few sectors that we have left, dairy and beef and cheese, and I guess that's dairy too, we protect these things via tariffs, and you can make an argument that we need to. That's fine. But if you need to protect something and it disadvantages your strategic partner, and then you spend your time insulting them and taking them for granted, don't expect the relationship to continue. It's a miracle it's continued for as long as it has. Canada primarily operates as a pass-through country for other nations that wish to import goods into the United States while taking advantage of Canada's more favorable trade terms with America. Canadians also fail to realize how much the United States provides for their national security. This lopsided trade arrangement and gratis military protection have allowed Canada's government to pursue wildly expensive pet projects like gay rainbow monuments in Ottawa that we don't need, and extravagant spending on DEI projects in Bangladesh. It's completely absurd. An order in council that was signed just the other day, $40 billion in spending while we're in the middle of an election. There isn't even a sitting government. We haven't had a sitting government since they prorogued the thing. And they're just blowing the bank. And a lot of this is built on the back of American patience for their so-called ally. We've been terrible friends. We've been toxic friends. This lopsided, I already read that part, such as destroying the country's industrial self-sufficiency in the name of fighting global warming, Canada's economy is much more socialist than most Canadians understand. Without American patronage, it would collapse in its current form. It's true. All the virtue signaling our politicians do, we are entirely dependent on the Americans. And if it wasn't for the fact that they have to play chess with their geopolitical adversary, they might have brought us to our knees as it is. They also have a public that they have to face. And with Europe and Canada and China and many other nations seemingly about to come together to fight a tariff war with the United States, it's death by a thousand prick points. So, as I said in a previous video, Trump blinked so he could focus his attention on the Chinese. Doesn't mean there's a lot of things off the table. I think 51st statehood for the entire country is off the table, as I've said before, but I don't think it's off the table for the West. We got to seriously consider, if we don't do statehood with the United States, we need to seriously consider sovereignty. And in building towards that sovereignty, we need to reclaim fully the power of tax collection provincially. Reclaim fully the power of policing away from the RCMP. We need to reclaim fully any aspect of our provincial lives that we can and enhance our autonomy, because Ottawa is not our friend. They're a bunch of raging communists, and no one has ever been more that than Mark Carney. The storm clouds for the Canadian economy and for Canadian well-being are all around you. You have been led into disaster. The Americans are not the enemy, and the sooner we embrace them in friendship and this new global structuring, the better it will be for all of us. This headline, breaking news, right now, Ingersoll GM workers informed of plant shutdown. How many companies are downsizing? How many companies are laying off? How many companies are relocating to the United States as their tax regime, as their structure gets more favorable to business, as Trump incentivizes capital to flow back into the United States at an accelerated rate? Canada is flirting with electing somebody who just wants to convert the country into a socialist hellhole. We're talking universal basic income. We're talking subsidy forever. We're talking trade war with the United States. 90-day reprieves expire. And the world will be, because everything is moving so fast and fluid these days, the world will be a different place in 90 days than any of us right now can even imagine. Because every single day brings a newness. Meanwhile, the same government that we are flirting with reelecting wants to continue the mass immigration, which is undermining Canada fundamentally. It's not just the money laundering and the criminality, which is inflating the housing market. It's also too many people in too few homes and building coffin homes designed on the model of Hong Kong, these modular homes, which will benefit Mark Carney and his company. He wants to raid you, the taxpayer, to enrich himself and his friends. It's insane that Canadians could even consider this. I don't like Jagmeet Singh. I think he's one of the worst people in politics. I almost think he's worse than Justin Trudeau, to be completely honest with you. But how can you, as an NDP voter, who virtue signal about the workers, who virtue signal about justice and social justice, how can so many of you have flown from one bad place under Jagmeet Singh? I get that you don't like him. I get that you don't like the disaster he's created. But so much of your support has flowed to the Liberal Party. What are you doing? How can you support this man? He's here to doom you all and stick you in coffin homes, all while mass immigrating the tax base out of existence. And meanwhile, in the United States, this from April 10th, the Darien Gap is now a ghost town. In an article published today on the New York, at the New York Post, journalist Emily Crane described the Darien Gap route as a ghost town. After just 4 months of the illegal migration crackdown from the Trump administration, it's amazing. When you enforce the laws and you enforce your borders, people don't want to risk their biscuit to make a run. They stop. And then you can focus on getting the people out that have already came in. And all of a sudden, crime rates drop, migration drops, secure borders. They've deployed the army in ways on the border to secure the border in ways they haven't before. Trump is moving fast because, as much as this video is now guaranteed to be over 20 minutes, the clock is ticking down. There ain't much time left to right the ship, particularly the ship of North America. It has to be done in short order. It has to be done quickly. We don't have time to dilly-dally. The world is a changing place. The resource supply is finite. And capturing that pie and securing that pie so that we can prosper here, yes, our prosperity will come at the expense of other people in the world. But that's just how it works. The other day, I was looking out my window, and I was watching the herd of deer. Got to be 40 strong. Beautiful sight. You got to just love seeing the deer because you know they're out there. And I never knew this before I became a bushman, or I'm becoming a bushman. I don't want to say I'm actually there yet. I used to be a farmer. Now it's a different craft. Four-legged protein walking around all over the place. You can love them. You can respect them. You can admire their beauty. Dare I say you can even pet them, knowing that they're your sustenance. And I share that in common with the timber wolf and the coyote and the cougars that live all around me. Nature is competitive. There is a mutual interest in maintaining a sufficient supply of the things that we need to survive and to live and to be prosperous. The world is like that. Nature doesn't stop at the human door. We are still part of nature. And things in this world are changing. Not all cultures are created equally. Some cultures are going to destroy themselves. And we want to make sure that we create a different one, that we maintain ourselves, that we fortify ourselves so that we can survive and our children can survive. And we can have a bright future. The opportunity to create that outcome is happening right now, right here, and we got to smarten up. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via donation on the website. We do this without advertising and sponsorships. We're doing it the hard way, which is why everybody's always asking, why aren't you at 100K subscribers? This is why. We do things the hard way here. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website, frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again? And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.